With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yotisb, the sportive, is back, baby. John's here. Hi, John.
Hi, Brandon.
You haven't really had a very long layoff, John. You've done 2 in 1 week. Is that right?
I'm just trying to stay sane in these crazy times we live in. And the way that I'm doing that is by recording podcasts?
The heart wants what it wants, but good job with the content. Stu is also here. Hi, Stu.
Hey, buddies.
And Chicken?
What's up, fuckers?
There we go.
I will say, in terms of podcast scheduling, this quarantine has been great for us. Not only do we have nothing going on in our lives, it's reached the point that Stu didn't know we were having a podcast till about 10 minutes ago and was totally available.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. There's really no excuse at this point. It's just, I could do this or I can stream something. I don't know. You know, right. I'm here. I'm present. John, for the other podcast you did, did it involve blaming David Gibbs for the coronavirus or not? I just need to know.
It was Mitch Browning, but yes, that was correct.
Damn it. I was trying to go into the past of Gophers coaches, and I think I picked maybe one of the more unlikely ones that would make you and Dave unreasonably angry.
You honestly could have named just about any figure, even peripherally associated with Gopher football over the last 40 years, and scored a direct hit.
Still, I can do better. I'll do better next time, I promise.
That's fine. We'll work on it.
Okay.
If we are going to be reviewing old podcasts, I'd just like to say a quick shout out to Stu for your sign on 2 podcasts ago with Hi You Cool Cats and Kittens.
Yeah. I beat Chicken to the punch on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell Chicken was, God damn it. Had no backup. I mean, she may have murdered her husband, but she does have a pretty cool phrase, so.
Oh, that's genius.
Back to even. Back to even.
Yeah. So what should we talk about, Brandon?
Okay, the first thing we need to talk about is our now world-famous beer bracket that we've been doing. So this is the best beer, but not the best flavor of beer, reason you're drinking a beer.
It's gone viral. Is it still okay to say things have gone viral? Is that...
I think so. You sort of have to be careful, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good virus. Yeah. Yes. So thanks to everybody for participating so far. As we speak, this is, hold on, let me see if I can get this right, Wednesday evening, April 8th.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday because tomorrow's not garbage day. That's how I know what day it is now.
That's exactly right. So we put together the 64 best beers. We had to cut a few out, but that was pretty fun to get started on that. And then we got down to our Sweet 16, and this week has been playing for the Final Four. So 3 of the 4 teams, again, as we speak, have punched their ticket to the Final Four. I don't know if you guys have seen the results. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But coming out of region number 1, the number 1 seed took it the first day of warm weather patio beer. Just beat out Chilling on the Pontoon beer.
Right. I believe that was the top overall seed. So
top
not
overall
a surprise.
Seed. No, not a surprise at all. Though I will say, once this started and I could tell the way the votes were going to go and the type of listeners we have, I thought that Pontoon beer might take it.
It's horse shit. I had it. That was my winner. That's what I called. Fucking robbed. Fucking
you were.
Refs. Ted Washington.
It was a tough bracket. I mean, tough region for pontoon beer. I think that they...
Well, it's a bullshit region. I mean, it's fucking small town wedding. You did this purposely. You're the one that set it all up. You're the NCAA. You're the guy in Kansas City or wherever the hell that sets the whole thing up.
And you're the guy that doesn't read your email and just says, that looks good to me.
Looks good to me. Maybe.
That'll do.
Maybe. That's beside the point. That's not what we're talking about. You're the guy. You're like Obama with the thing in your office that you set the whole thing up.
Yep.
And you're just chuckling the whole time. Oh, look at him. I'm going to fuck chicken. Look at him. He's just going to be pissed.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this isn't working out. This isn't working out too great for me either, but I'll take it. I'll take that. So that was the first. That's the
only solace I'm getting in this whole thing is that it's also not working out for you.
Okay, so team number one in Final Four, first day of warm weather patio beer, number one seed overall for a reason. That is a fantastic beer, and that knows no demographic lean one way or the other. Everybody enjoys that warm weather patio beer. Okay, moving down to region number two, another top seed took this one. The pre-vacation airport beer beat out fairly close, the Kids Finally in Bed recliner beer.
I was extremely disappointed in that result. Extremely disappointed.
Yeah. Is it just because you love the recliner beer so much, or you just are not a huge fan of the pre-vacation airport beer?
I love the recliner beer. You have to understand where I am in my life right now. I go on vacation once a year if I'm lucky, and merely getting to the airport is a chore and a half. So having a beer before I get on a flight is, if anything, more of a challenge than a relaxation. Whereas I just sat down in the recliner and the kids are finally asleep and I don't have to yell at anyone to go back to bed and there's a beer there, is the best of all possible worlds. So I don't know who all you yuppie jerks are that are going to the airport and having beers before your flights like Rick friggin' Steves, but frankly, I've had enough of all of you.
They were worthy competitors, both of them. I love both beers very much. But the pre-vacation airport beer was number one seed for a reason. That's a universal beer. That's a good one. So I'm okay with it, although I, of course, love the recliner beer. I'm also a dad. Okay, and moving on to...
With the dad listenership, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that was not the number three seed. I'm surprised that number three seed is not in the Final Four.
Totally. Yep, 100%. I would assume dads would love that way more than the pre-vacation airport beer. So
Right. Who
knows? Okay, region three is also complete. The number two seed post-yardwork beer is moving on to the Final Four. And it just beat out the number four seed golf beer. The number one seed in that region got to the takeout place early beer. It did get to the Sweet 16, which is nice, but it didn't really make it any further than that. So there is a good chance, I suppose, that the seeding committee may have made an error on that one.
Right. Not a chance. A certainty.
There's a chance. Looking at this, the pontoon beer and the recliner beer most likely should have been one, or at the very worst, two seeds. I would say they both got hosed with a number three seed, but, you know, them's the breaks. The post-yardwork beer takes it, a number two seed. That's just a great beer. Again, there's no real way you can tuck yourself out of that one. And then since we are in the middle of it, the fourth region is still playing. Now, the four teams left are the Small Town Outdoor Summer Festival beer, just got to the cabin beer, got to the restaurant early beer, and bonfire beer. Right now, it looks like bonfire beer and cabin beer are the last two that may make that one. So we'll see. My sense is bonfire beer will win that one, and I can see that one going all the way and taking the trophy. But we'll see. That cabin beer is a pretty good competitor. So that's where we're at right now.
Guy. That's the one I'm pulling for of those remaining.
So if you think of like the happiest you are is you roll up to the cabin mooch.
Yep, first one.
It's the first beer you get out of your car, and let me set the scene as I'm guessing what happens. You jump out of the teal minivan, you mm-hmm. rip your shirt off.
That's true.
And yes. You have a beer that you don't even have to go into the cooler. You've had one kind of in your pocket waiting, and before the car is even in park, you got that thing cracked and you're ready to go.
Like most vacations or getting away from the house, I always tell myself, what do you say? You're going on vacation. It's that first night on vacation or at the cabin. You say
the first night you take it easy.
Pace yourself.
Just you easy. Can't ruin it.
Easy. Just slow down. And I've said this before. When I'm on vacation, get to the restaurant. You know, get to the hotel. Maybe the hotel has a bar. Sit down. Chicken, just take it easy.
Just take it easy.
Pace yourself. Ease into this thing.
Mm-hmm. Got a long weekend.
Open up the beer list, or I open up the cooler at the cabin. You could go for just a Coors Light, you know, something light, something refreshing, just easy, ease into it.
But nope. Keep scrolling down that list. Is that a 19.7% ABV beer?
Dragon's Scrotum, 19.7 ABV.
An aged stout?
give me three of those.
Drink them aged in heroin.
17
if you get
minutes.
Two, it comes with one of those helmets.
Just absolutely. An hour and a half in, I'm just done. Just either asleep or out of control.
No. You wake up the next morning, you somehow have had 75 stouts, you are third-degree sunburns, and you check your ATM statement and you spent $300 on pull tabs.
Somehow on a ship, a tanker in Lake Superior, on my way to Sault Ste. Marie. Hauling logs.
You're a lumberjack. Everyone else is also a lumberjack. They seem to know you. They all know your name. You know all their names.
Everybody's Russian. I speak Russian. Don't know how I picked it up.
Das Vidanya chicken.
Das Vidanya.
Oh, man.
Okay, you know prostitute? You know prostitute? that's my Russian accent, everybody. I did not know I was going to do accent work tonight, but well, that's what we're doing.
I got a question I just thought of here.
Yeah.
Of all the beers that were posted, what beer is the Duke of the beers?
Ooh. It's such a dynasty. You're just sick of
it's
it.
It's got to be a
like,
highly...
You know it's good. Of course it's
a highly
good,
seeded beer that you looked at it, you're like, fuck, this is... Fuck you, beer.
Honestly, for me, it was the Aaron beer. It was absolutely the number one seeded Aaron beer.
You're saying that Broxy's beer...
Broxy's favorite beer. That was the Duke.
That's so interesting.
Mean. That's maybe the meanest thing I ever said on this podcast.
I also sent you the fucking seedings. Jesus.
Wow.
Everyone's a critic, man. Okay, so you saw the Aaron beer and you're like, it's just not that good of a beer. It doesn't need to be a number one. Or is it like, yeah, I get it. I'm just tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, not all of us live in Edina where we just drive around getting beers in between all of our errands while our servants sit in the back seat holding all our groceries for us. That's what
I don't even know who you're talking shit about.
Hostility came from.
Wow. God. John, you're nice. John, you're nice.
10 minutes into this thing, you're the nice one. What role is chicken going to play now?
This is bullshit.
Anyway, I was utterly delighted that the Aaron beer was taken down by the what I called in the polling the Cornfest beer, which is just the most hayseed of all of the beers. And Brandon was already angry about Hayseeds ruining his beloved bracket, and then the Aaron beer lost to the 9:30 p.m. at Lakeside Park beer, and it was very much like, let's say, Butler beating Duke, just nowhere, nothing school. Maybe somebody better than Butler. Who would be better than Butler in this? South Dakota State. It was South Dakota State beating Duke in the NCAA tournament.
Jesus. I'm upset. Well, I have a couple complaints that I'd like to lodge if we're all in the midst of complaining. But maybe next week, LOL, who am I kidding? Maybe next quarter, we should do our own bracket and say what our own actual Final Four and champion would be. Because I don't think we've actually gotten to what that would be. So does that sound like a good plan for next episode?
Sure.
Sounds like some work.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, so fine. My I have five complaints with this.
Holy shit.
Wow.
That's a lot of complaints, right? Let's dive in.
Post sports playing beer beat Christmas is finally over beer. I obviously did the rankings, as we have been able to tell through all of your bitching that's been happening so far. Do you think I'm the only one who really loves that Christmas is finally over beer? And I wonder if it's tainted for me because I'm a child of divorce and Christmas to me just means like so much family that it's out of control and there's nothing I love more than like kids are in bed. It's sort of like the fanciest, best version of the kids finally in bed recliner beer. And that was a 3 seed. So that made me sad. Do you guys love that beer as well? Or is it just like a, whatever?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a child of many divorces, and I was always.
I don't know why I'm laughing at that. That's too okay. I apologize. That's not funny.
You really
one up
the divorce thing. Oh yeah, one divorce.
Oh yeah, one divorce. Good for you.
Sounds like paradise.
I'll conference Howie in so he can talk about it. I get that impulse, but I mean, I always enjoyed like the Christmas Eve beer more than, I don't think that was even in there.
You're right. That's probably more of a powerful statement.
Yeah. It's like, you know, getting the kids put to bed and having a big old barrel aged stout before you get into the other things you got to do. And, I was never a big, post. I mean, I'll just get sauced on Christmas Day just, you know, for the hell of it, but you know,
right. Right. That's better. Damn it.
But I get that, but I get the impulse though.
Sure. So it's not really a grievance. I'm not super concerned about that one. Same with number four, the adult sports league beer, winning the adult sports league, losing to that early soccer game. I guess that made me sad. It also made me happy for John because that was your favorite of all of them. You were probably a little sour that I made it a number 10 seed.
No, I just, I think the problem there is that not everyone in the world plays for the Minnetonka Millers. And so
that was
none of the rest of us.
I love that.
None of the rest of us know what it's like.
It could be softball. It could be anything. Yeah. I like that beer, Brandon. I liked it. I voted for it. I was pulling for it.
I mean, there are so rare occasions where you can justifiably dump a beer over somebody else's head and have it be a fun thing. And that's one of the rare occasions. So I was a little sad about that. But I do understand if you're watching sports. Okay, so here's the thing. If it's 7 a.m. and you're watching sports at the bar, I mean, you could just be a raging alcoholic. That's
right,
of course. Mm-hmm. But it's usually that's for a pretty special circumstance to begin with, right?
Right.
You're like in Australia and you had to get up early because the NFL playoffs were on or some shit. But most likely it's a soccer game, right? Soccer match, excuse me. It's a footy match.
Game is fine. Game is perfectly fine.
It's a footy game. So that people don't just randomly find themselves watching sports at a bar at 7 a.m. So I do understand that a little bit. I'm not super mad about that. Number three, I was annoyed that golf got more votes than my beloved takeout beer. I don't get it. I thought that was a reasonable number one seed. That to me, there's so much goodness to the takeout beer. That golf to me, it's like it's the Wisconsin Badgers of beers. It's fine. It's there all the time. It's okay. It's a low ceiling. You know, it's golf.
I agree with that. I just think people have a very fond, you know, relationship with, like, you know, disastrously flirting with a college sophomore who's riding the beer cart. You know, I think that's just one of those things like, oh, I think she really likes me, guys.
And she was
like,
into me.
I think that's... Yeah.
When you put it that way, I hate the golf beer more than any other beer.
Yeah.
I just...
So, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the takeout
beer.
maybe the takeout beer is just not as, again, I kind of felt like it was one of those things that if you know sort of deals, and then you're really into it, and you kind of secretly get to the place early on purpose, and that's, I mean, it's guilt-free, it's solo, you're about to eat takeout food anyway, you're proud of yourself for getting there early, there's so much happiness wrapped into that, but I guess, I don't know, I guess maybe I'm more into the takeout beer than others. That bothered me.
I just have never once had a takeout beer, nor have I ever gotten to a takeout place early enough that it would be a possibility.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You really are. You're really missing out, John. It's a delicious beer.
Yeah, but when I get takeout, it's either like Papa Murphy's, which does not have beer, or it's a Chinese place.
Oh my God.
Where you call?
Don't get chicken started. Do not get chicken started. Okay?
Papa Murphy's? Should we edit this out?
What?
I'm gonna
go
ballistic. Did you just
listen?
This motherfucker said Papa Murphy's.
Did he just say Papa Murphy's?
Wait. I have 43 children and only two jobs. So what do you want out of me?
Look,
what do you want
out of me? Fucking frozen pizza.
Yeah.
Either way, you're putting it in your goddamn oven. Either way, you're putting it in your fucking oven. What's the difference? I get getting out of the house, then get a takeout pizza where they cook it for you. You're doing the worst of both worlds.
It's more expensive for shittier pizza.
You got you're cooking it yourself, and you don't have to go anywhere. Or you go out, which is a good thing, but then you got to bring it home and cook it yourself. So make a lick of goddamn sense. Not one.
This podcast is over.
Fucking.
I didn't even get to my top two. And we already lost chicken. Shit. Okay, top two. John, are you still with us?
No, I'm out of here.
I'm sorry, John.
I've heard things I can't let pass.
Okay, let me just say for the record, that's the first time I actually legitimately had to ask if somebody had hung up and left. out of anger. I mean, sometimes I assume Stu sometimes is left just out of boredom, but out of anger.
Yeah, Stu doesn't have to go vacuum quite yet.
Okay, let me... No. These other two are very frustrating to me. The outdoor festival beer beating the running errands beer. That's bullshit, John. I know you talked some trash about the errand beer, but a festival beer, that sucks, dude. That's a terrible... That's not even a good beer, as far as I'm concerned.
Brandon, this
like,
summer...
It's overpriced. There's a million people. You're
there's not a million people. What outdoor festivals are you talking about? We're talking about, like, Glencoe days here. There's not a million people. There's 14 people, and they all know your dad.
That's not helping. That's not a good argument.
It absolutely is a good argument. You're thinking of, like, Rock the Garden and, like,
yeah,
you know,
no.
The Basilica day. I mean, that's what you're thinking of, Brandon. You're not thinking of Corn Chaff days.
These
where
corn
my dad and Dale chef. Are running the bar for the liquor store. And, you know, there's for some reason they have hard liquor out there in the hot sun. And it's just a bad idea all the way around. So you got to stick to beer. That's awesome.
There's three on-duty uniformed police officers that are not only drinking, they're turning off their radios so they can buy other people beers and ignoring calls.
Oh, my God! The fire! That's everybody! Click.
Well, as anybody knows, you have an agreement with the neighboring town's police officers. They cover your city for your town festival, and then your town covers their town festival. That's how it works. Buffalo Lake cops run Hector Days. Hector cops from Buffalo Lake days. That's just how it works. It's a beautiful system.
It's not quid pro quo. That's just common sense.
Exactly.
That's just people coming together to work for the common good.
Yes.
It's just and smacks also the of other, a townie vote. I don't like it.
Yeah, but the problem is in the town that like where all the cops from that town are at the neighboring town. It's basically the purge in that other town because there's no cops. It's like all crime is legal. It's just if you have a grudge, that's when you settle that.
It just seems like something more fun to remember than experience. I don't know, just colored by nostalgia. The Aaron beer.
I do it every summer. It's not nostalgic. I literally do it every summer, Brandon.
I guess. It's
delightful.
Brandon, I don't see how you're still arguing when all of us are in agreement and the voters in the poll also agreed. So You're on an island by yourself. Just,
I don't know. I mean, we talked about that the festival you're talking about. There were, as you said, 14 people there. This is the most famous, popular thing in the whole world. I have been there, by the way. I'm not like the guy who hasn't been to the small town festival. I just don't know if it's ever as. Sometimes it's good. It can be bad though. It's not a for sure guaranteed good. Aaron beer is always good. You chose to have the Aaron beer. That's the right. winner to me.
Just Brandon's on record saying that drinking with people you've known your entire life is worse than drinking and driving.
Wow. Yes. Yep. That's right. No, yep. Drinking solo. That's what I would say. Okay. The number one airing of grievance, and John, you know exactly what I'm going to say here. Small town wedding dance you weren't invited to beer, beating post-exercise shower beer is just beyond fucked. That is so fucked up. The small town wedding dance you weren't invited to, I can see that actually working out positively and memorably sometimes. But you know what never happens while you're drinking a post-exercise shower beer? Getting in a fight with a townie. Unless it's chicken showering with his wife. No, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it.
Jesus, son of a bitch. Just like we have a shower. Pardon me.
I just knew Stu would get to that joke a lot faster than me, so I had to blurt it out.
One of the Rothschilds are here. Fucking with a shower.
I just don't understand how that won, and I'm never going to be over it. Maybe it's just, again, a thing that I thought was super fun and common was the post-exercise shower beer is probably something that most people are like, what? Why would I ever do that? That sounds insane to me. No.
I just exercised. I'm trying to lose weight. Yeah.
And now I'm doing what again?
I think not everyone lives in a Michelob Ultra commercial like you do.
Showering to go to the rooftop patio to meet all your beautiful friends.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, Lance Armstrong, how's it going?
Dap. Intricate.
What a
handshake.
Perfectly diverse set of friends I have. Oh, God damn it.
Really quickly, I asked the question about the which beer is the Duke beer, and I'm scrolling through the beers. Post group bike ride beer, that's the Duke beer. Going on a bike, going on an excursion bike ride,
that's the Duke.
Pretty dookie.
Oh, you're clomping Duke, around in your shoes. Duke-ish. You got the tights.
Yeah, the helmet's bad. Still on.
Yeah.
In the parking lot. That's the Duke.
Are motorcycles included in that, or is it strictly bicycles?
Bicycles. I was thinking bicycles. It never occurred to me.
That was a bicycle
motorcycle.
Ride. That was a group bicycle ride. Yep. That was it.
That's probably right.
The only other option is the post snow skiing jacuzzi beer.
Nope, that's right. That's the one. That's the Duke. That's the Duke.
That was.
I apologize to my bicycling friends. That's the Duke.
Of all the that's beers the that felt like they had little to do with my life, that one had the least to do with how my actual life is playing out.
The post skiing jacuzzi. I think I've been skiing.
Yeah.
I don't know, twice, and I wore jeans both times. Like the jacuzzi afterwards didn't. I don't think it had a jacuzzi at Buck Hill.
Duct taped your cowboy boots to the skis. I have boots. I don't need ski boots. I've got boots.
What? Rented your boots, piece of shit.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I understand why I lost a bunch of these. I still would recommend anybody, while you're out running errands, get a beer, guilt-free. Takes 20 minutes. Their spouse will never know. It's incredible. It's one of the best. Again, it's a dad vote, but it's a solo beer that's guilt-free. Those are hard to come by. So I definitely recommend that. And then the post-exercise shower beer.
Take the L.
I guess I understand. The thing about that one is if you play adult sports, that happen at night. The issue is, no matter how pathetic this sounds, you are a little revved up after the game, right? Adrenaline, whatever. It's hard to go to bed. There's nothing worse than playing like a 9 o'clock game and sitting up awake at 1 a.m. because of your stupid whatever. You get home, you have to shower anyway. The beer will help you with recovery. Not really, but we can say it will. And it'll help you go to sleep. So the post-exercise shower beer, that's also post-sports playing, highly recommended. Try it next time you ever move your body. That's all I have to say. I took a bunch of fellas.
Thank you, Body by Jake. I appreciate that.
All right. So next week, we'll talk about our actual winners. Do you guys want to move on to our next topic?
Yeah.
Sure. What is it?
I wanted to just complain for a while at the stupid professional sports leagues with all of their terrible ideas to get sports back up and running.
It seems like they all have the same terrible idea, just the place and time changes.
Yes, let's all have them all go to one place.
Yeah.
Somehow.
The NHL offered, I heard an idea where they were going to play either a number or all of the games in Grand Forks.
Yes, I saw this.
And what struck me as odd about that, I didn't read the story. I think it was in The Athletic, which I don't have a subscription to, so I couldn't read it. In the NHL's mind, do they picture, like, I tease Grand Forks a lot in the University of North Dakota, but I've been to Grand Forks. There is a town there with people, like, that exist. Like, in the NHL, right. Do they think of it like, is it like the, like, Mad Max? Like, it's just
completely deserted.
Desert.
There's zero,
like,
humans
it's
left.
This, yeah. It's just this building that exists out in the middle of nowhere that nobody lives around it. Like, they're going to bring everybody there, and they're not going to infect anybody. What
if you
in
were
Gary
to ask
Bettman's
Bettman,
head,
like,
what does
how
Grand
many
Forks
people
look like? Yeah.
Yeah. 11 citizens live there. That's what, that would be his guess. Over under.
Some old Western mining camp, like, from 1743. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Mystery Alaska? That's what Gary Bettman is picturing.
But no, there's tens of thousands of people live there. It's not, you can't just move everybody there and not impact it. They would get sick too, or the alternate is that they just don't care about people in Grand Forks. Now that's a theory. I can start getting behind something like that. Like, we just don't care about them.
We don't care. All right. Yeah, we know the exact population.
No, we know they live there. We just don't.
We'll
care.
Send the sick ones to Thief River Falls. We don't give a shit.
Well, anyway, that's.
It does sort of remind me of the time that Chicken insisted to me that the Rugby World Cup should be required to be held in Rugby, North Dakota.
What? I don't know. Difference is like,
where's the flaw? Where's the flaw?
There's no flaw.
It's
got
the same. It's the
there's
same
no flaw
word.
On the plan. It's just the same
it's
plan.
The same word. It's the same word. One's rugby and the other's rugby. It's clever. Yeah. There.
They had Woodstock and Woodstock. They can play rugby and rugby. It's just common sense.
Oh, boy. I'm going to write that down.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a good thing we're all leaving.
Guys, we all saw that the baseball proposal was maybe the dumbest thing. I mean, I am desperate for anything to watch or follow that isn't updates about body counts. But it just seemed like that was like such a desperate. It felt like an 8-year-old boy's fever dream.
Is that the one
really
where they were
baseball?
They got like like an Olympic Village style where they just all live together.
And they're gonna get a whole bunch of abandoned hotels in Arizona, which probably are a real thing, and like just take everyone away from their families for 4 months in a pandemic in the hottest part of the world in the summer. And play games in front of nobody in 130 degree weather.
I mean, doubleheaders every day for reasons that are beyond
and
understanding.
Somehow
are like, get a say? Do I have to?
Yeah. I don't know that I'd want to leave my family at this time right now. And also, there's not going to be tests. I know the rich and powerful get tests, but not that degree of testing is available for anybody. It just, none of it made any sense. If you looked at it for the 5 seconds, we're like, Christ, that would be awesome to have baseball on right now. Then you look at the details, like, that's a baby thought of that. An actual fucking baby had this idea, wrote it down in crayon, and it somehow got in front of Rob
Manfred. Scribbled in crayon.
That's, Timmy Tompkins, age 8, Tempe, Arizona. Teacher, I like baseball. And it's like, that was it. That was the proposal. None of it makes sense. At least the NFL draft makes sense. It's just a conference call. That makes sense.
That's fine. Yes.
It's not sports. It is not sports, but it at least makes sense because
they got lucky. They all got lucky in the sense that the season wasn't going on. I mean, think of how monumentally fucked the NFL would have. How much they would have fucked up had it been week 8. Like, what do you think they would have done? They would have implemented the baseball's plan of, like, here, let's concentrate all the players, have them abandon their families. Like, what did FDR do during World War II? Let's just copy that with,
what did they do during the war?
Yeah. But they got lucky. Because I can't imagine what idea Goodell would have come up with. Let's play in the moon. I don't know.
Yeah, it's terrible. The other one I heard from the NBA was they're going to be doing like a horse competition, but like taped at each player's home. So he'll like one guy will.
How many players even own horses?
It's equestrian.
Love that joke. Love that joke.
Why am I still laughing?
God, I have this fucking Wuhan virus. I can't. My mind is going to a cuckoo.
Yeah,
I'm
bad.
Sorry, guys. That was a horrible joke. I don't know.
How many
what
of them even own horses?
Jesus Christ. I need to get out of this fucking town.
Yeah, it's not good. And it's desperate and it's boring. Like, if the two people I'm probably most interested in, like my two children, they play horse. 4 seconds into it, I am like, somebody blow my brains out. Fucking shoot me in the face. Do not let me watch one more second of this motherfucking horse game. And they're my kids. I'm desperate to be around them, and I can't stand it. There was an old 80s clip posted, maybe it was in the 70s, I don't know, a long time ago. A horse used to be like a game they played during the All-Star game. And so, like, Pete Maravich and some other guy played horse. It is just mind-numbingly awful to watch.
What if we took the boringness of the slam dunk competition and made it less athletic?
Made it even worse. Yeah, even perfect. Worse. What if we took all the athleticism out of this stupid competition? They were like, okay, well, for this one, I'm going to jump off my left foot but do a right-handed layup. Great. I don't give a shit. I'm already gone. There's no way
they're all
going to
do
this.
Half court shots and miss the first 12 of them, and you're just going to be sitting there watching that.
And even like, think of the best reaction you'd have to like Steph Curry hitting a half court shot. Yeah, I'm desperate for basketball, and I'd be like, all right.
I kind of expect him to hit a lot of half. That's not remarkable.
I'm sure they will. It'll be pretty impressive, but I don't need to watch it. And that's like, again, I usually go through this like mental exercise, and Stu already kind of touched on it, but like, if you hear an idea, at what age person could broach it for you to be like, oh, that's an okay thing. I'm not kidding. You kind of talked about it, but like, if my 15-year-old nephew brought up any of these ideas, I'd be like, dude, you, what is wrong with you? Do you have any brains at all? Think through some of this stuff, buddy. And these are grown adults. It's just not going to happen, man. They're all terrible. I can't believe it. There's no good ideas.
Well, do you have a good idea?
No.
There is.
No one has good ideas.
Just sit. Just.
Yeah, it's literally patience is the only good idea, and no one has it because everyone's stuck at home. That's it.
I mean, can we get, like, two of these guys together, get them tested, and then they can just figure it out from there? I'm sure, like, Mike Trout and Mookie Betts can come up with something together. The thing is, I just don't want to see them, like, pass videos back and forth of, like, here's some cool shit. You have to have a little bit of the back and forth between athletes, like some defense or something. But anything beyond that, it's just a risk point. And obviously, like, what we forget to think about is, like, the players have a say in all this. Like, they don't have to be trucked out to Deadwood. Ooh, so I have no good ideas.
Are you proposing a Deadwood series?
Horse competition in Deadwood, yes.
Out in the Black Hills.
Nailed it. Totally nailed it. No, I'm sure there's going to be more terrible ideas coming forth soon. I just can't imagine. I don't know. I just feel like just calm down with the ideas and wait and start up all of your leagues in whenever they can be started up again. You don't need to hustle to mid-May or early June or whatever it is. Like, maybe shoot for August as the best case scenario and go from there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do I know?
So you couldn't, an idea, you couldn't come up with baseball that, like, try to figure out the rules of the game change so that nobody can get within, I know the CDC says 6 feet, but let's say we up it to like 20 feet, but you can still play the game. And I don't know, no catcher and like ghost runners or something. No
ghosties. You got to have some ghosties. I'd be down with that. You could
Yeah.
They're kind of a long ways away. You could do a home run contest, right?
You tell me, okay, okay.
Those are kind of fun.
Chicken, I admire where your head is at, Chicken, but
just trying to
how is Ron Gardenhire going to get the red ass with social distancing?
Via Facebook.
Well, yeah. If Hunter Wendelstein
seriously.
Guardy, the Wuhan, gave him the COVID, that'd be it. I think that'd be finally what pushes Guardy over the edge.
Yeah, he just can't get the red ass with social distancing.
Keep the umpires in those comical bubble things, and then he could just chest bump that thing, and Hunter Wendelstedt is, like, rolling down the street.
Hunter Wendelstedt's wearing a diving bell.
Rolling into traffic.
Guardy is trying to belly
bump. Why is Guardy licking Hunter Wendelstedt? It makes no sense. Oh, that's right.
Oh, man. Yeah. I guess
good times,
I can
good times.
Some sort of hazmat suit home run derby, and it's only a couple guys. How does that sound?
That sounds really boring.
It's
actually
not the same thing.
That sucks, man. I don't know what to tell you.
John will watch.
Shitty idea.
John watches a lot of sports.
John does watch a lot of sports.
I'm at the point. Holy I read shit. An article the other day in about some paddle tennis tournament that they had the other day. It was on ESPN3, and it sounded like the goofiest thing ever. It's played on a wooden court surrounded by a fence, and it's like real tennis, but it's not. The court is way small. Anyway, the details of the sport aren't important. My reaction to the article was, oh man, I can't believe I missed that. I wish I would have watched paddle tennis or whatever. I'm not even completely sure it was called paddle tennis. I just feel desperate. There have been a ton of stories about the few soccer leagues around the world that have not stopped playing, chiefly Belarus, which is a terrible nonsense league that nobody plays in. But I saw those stories and my immediate reaction was to go check ESPN3 just in case they'd signed a broadcast deal with the Belarusian Premier League. I don't support it. I don't think it's a good idea. But I'm feeling increasingly desperate for any kind of live sports.
What is the first sport that's going to come back?
Tennis or golf?
Tennis feels like the easy number one. Is the concern with tennis now even is like what you're going to like sweat on the ball that's going to be the agent that carries it somehow, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I mean, you would like in theory test both players before the match just to make sure they're not, you know.
Well, that seems like ultimately the key sticking point in any sport coming back is the fact that, at least in the United States and in a lot of other places too, there simply are not enough tests to go around. And so you can't say, hey, we'll test all of the teams before the game and make sure that anybody who has the virus is not part of whatever. They can't do that. And until they can do that, which near as I can tell from the last month will be never ever, there's no possible way I can see this working.
Yeah, I think people are starting to figure it out. There are not going to be team sports for like a year and a half, and people should probably just get used to that. I think single player sports will probably return, but I don't see team sports coming back until 2021. I really don't.
Yeah,
and
I'm sorry
that I'm bringing that up, but it just seems so unlikely. Just because we just don't have the testing regimen in place, and I don't know when we're going to have it.
I'm absolutely not ready to hear that, Stu. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I want to be wrong. I'd love to be wrong. I'd be thrilled to be wrong.
I saw a story today about how the German Soccer League was making plans to come back in May with just playing games in empty stadiums and stuff, and I don't think that's probably a good idea for all the reasons we've discussed, but I honestly got a knot in my stomach. I was so excited about the possibility. Like, that's 1 month away. I can wait another month.
Oh, yeah. 1 month would be totally fine. Yeah, the key is testing. That's everything, right?
Yeah.
And even the best news we've heard is that Abbott Labs is making 50,000 tests a day, which is like actually a drop in the bucket for how many tests we need. At some point, someday, ideally, you'd have a test that's somewhat like a thermometer or a breathalyzer or something where it's like a very easily reusable test that you can just test people all the time. And then we would be fine. We would have it in front of businesses and grocery stores and gyms and everything else, and we would just completely go back to normal. The only problem is that doesn't exist. I don't think it's on the horizon of existing.
It takes time, again.
And even if it did, there's still like not 100% chance that's always accurate. So,
patience.
I don't know.
Patience. That's all we got, man, is patience.
W. Axl Rose was right.
Yeah. Oh, what a good song.
Such a good one.
Whew, it's a great
what
song.
A jam.
Just such a good song.
Well,
I think that was the last top 10 song with whistling, by the way.
Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head was the
that
70s.
Was before, way before that.
Winds of Change by Journey.
Our
Young Folks.
First of all, that was the Scorpions, John.
Oh, that was the Scorpions. But, how stupid of me!
Was,
of course.
God, that's at the same time. That's
really close. Actually,
yeah,
that might be right, John.
Close.
I'm sorry, I forgot about Winds of Change.
No whistle. There's the song with the whistling, it's about giving blowjobs or something.
Oh,
what's that?
The Whisper Song. The Whisper by the Ying Yang Twins? That one?
Yeah,
whistle while you twerk.
That might be it. That might be it. Son of a gun.
I knew it.
You're right.
That's all right. No, I'm glad we talked this through. We needed to talk it through. We weren't going to come up with it off the top of your head. You needed to.
It seemed like
through the progression.
That is 30. Yeah, because Patience came out like when I was still in high school. So that's like over. That's 30 odd years ago. So there had to be some more whistling between then and now. And I apologize right now. I apologize on this podcast to both the Ying Yang Twins.
Both Ying and Yang.
Yeah.
I should have known that.
Mostly the Yin. Yang knows what he did.
He was a songwriter.
Yeah, Yin deserves the credit. All right. Do you guys want to talk
about... Bowling is going to be the one that comes back. I mean, that's the obvious thing. You can do it remotely. There's people that have bowling alleys in their homes. You could sanitize your balls. You should sanitize your balls anyways.
You should absolutely sanitize your balls.
Really playing fast and loose with the term sport here, aren't we,
bowling
bud?
Balls, Mandy.
Fuck you. If you're not, I'm watching bowling. I'm going to watch it.
Oh, I will watch the shit out of bowling. I will watch it. I'll watch a, yes, I'll watch anything, but it's, I don't know, sport, but whatever.
If they
yes.
had like a Sweet 64 of bowlers, yeah. and like, then you could pick your, and they had like a bracket, and they had a bowling tournament
yeah.
tomorrow. And also, it started tomorrow. Fuck you. You know that you would yeah. be at your office.
Absolutely.
Well, not in your office. You'd be and emailing if I, brackets.
Can I call bullshit on myself really quick? If that baseball proposal comes back in a month from now and nothing has changed, I might be on board with it.
Of course. Yes, of course.
There's no doubt.
No one's listening anyway. How yeah. about professional athletes bowling?
Love it. Sure.
And next to them,
okay.
or like on the phone with sure. them, is a professional dancer that can choreograph their celebration if they get a strike. So you can kind of see the athleticism
you're,
and coordination.
You're big on sellies. I'm not as big on sellies. You're a big silly guy.
Oh, you know what you love is just the, not even a fist bump. No. You just put your head down and you walk away. Shoulder
Barry
to the
Sanders.
Wheel.
Act like
and
you've
the ball
been there
to the
before.
Ref.
What, you think
and
this
your
is my
bowling
first
ball
strike?
To the ref.
And the bowling yep. ball to the ref at high speed.
Just a light toss, just like yep. Barry.
Yep. Oklahoma State, you've been there before.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I love the sellies, though. We're desperate. Okay, you want to move on to our next segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
We have a
this
third?
This is a fairly new segment.
I don't remember what it was either.
That fairly new segment that we've been doing recently, and this is a How Are We Staying Sane segment, which, of course, I don't know if we are.
No.
Does anybody That's have any... I know you guys talked about this a couple weeks ago. I have one, Chicken, you'll be happy to know. One way I stayed sane this week is I watched the movie Hell or High Water.
Oh, my God.
What a great movie.
Oh,
oh
man. That's
man.
Fucking good.
Did I mention that somewhere? Did I say that? I guess I don't recall ever mentioning how much I love that movie. I must have
well,
said it somewhere.
I mean, I don't know you've ever have, but I know you as a person. You're my friend. I know exactly who you are, and you love that movie. It was written for you.
That's,
it was written specifically for you.
The first time I watched that's exactly what I thought. Like, holy shit. I don't know who this person is that wrote it, but are they looking over my shoulder?
You got to look up who actually wrote that movie. Do you know who it is?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's this giant dude. Okay, I'm not even going to fact check this. I hope to God I'm right.
No, he played an Irish mobster on Veronica Mars.
Exactly. Taylor Sheridan.
What?
He is huge.
Yes.
And he looks like in Veronica
that
Mars and a couple other bit parts that he had, like kind of a jokey Andre the Giant type, just behemoth doof. And he actually writes movies, and he's incredible. And that was one of the movies he wrote. He's unbelievably talented. And he just does, you know, of course, he doesn't look like it at all. So that's who wrote it.
Well, the screenwriting. I mean, the writing is beautiful. The pace, whoever yeah. directed it, the pace of that movie, just everything about it. I just love.
How about that?
Yeah.
The acting of Ben Foster, the crazy brother.
Oh,
holy shit! He's
oh,
perfect.
Oh my
it
god!
Is so good.
Just bananas.
It's just perfect.
Oh
yep.
yeah.
Yep. I just yeah. like to me. I'm not a great like acting mind. But I was just like, mm-hmm. that. If that guy didn't get Best Picture, I don't understand it. Like, he was so good.
Yeah, best, absolutely. That's man, that is on Netflix, right? That is streaming.
And it's on Netflix.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. If you've not seen everybody, if you have not seen that, put that to the top of your queue. It's so good.
If yeah. Brandon and I can both love a movie, then that covers as broad a spectrum as
that's the gamut.
I want to say he also is behind. I have not seen this. There's a series called Yellowstone that is on. I want to say the Paramount Network. I don't know
that's
that
correct.
For sure, but
it's,
I think he's
I
behind
love it.
That.
Not that that this, same
is,
writer.
Is that? Yes, I want to say it's at least.
Is
he
really?
Is, he
I
created
love Yellowstone.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he created that, and that's got Costner, right?
It is Costner. Yeah,
that candy ass Kevin Costner. Yeah.
Yeah, and the guy who plays kind of the Ben Foster role in that show is, oh, I couldn't tell you the actor's name, but you would know him. He's the guy on Good Will Hunting. That's like there's the four buddies on Good Will Hunting.
He's the fourth guy that never said anything.
He's the fourth guy that never says anything. He's
yeah, Cole something.
I couldn't tell you his name. No idea.
Sure.
And he's in Dazed and Confused. And yeah.
Yeah, that guy. That guy, kind of the redhead guy. Type guy.
Character actor that never really did much anything, and he's awesome in Yellowstone.
Yep. So that's my tip. Anybody else have a tip? How are you staying sane? Help me out.
What I've been doing is mourning the like incredibly talented singer-songwriters who are passing away with alarming frequency from the COVID-19
gonna get to that
virus.
Later.
Why am I laughing at that too? I'm sorry, Stu. Everything you say that's morbid. I am just rolling on.
I'm not kidding. I just wrote down my next bit was, hey, Stu, what musician died this week? So there you go.
Let's see. Yeah, right. Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne, who I love, and obviously John Prine, who the entire world loves, passed last night. And it's just been listening to their music has been a really good palliative, because you cannot listen to their music and be in John Prine's case, some of his songs are super fucking sad, but they're so good. It's just like that guy's an artist. That's actual art, and more people are I think, you know, obviously everyone's stuck inside, so there are people finding out about John Prine just now, and that's awesome, because that's a whole world of incredible songs that you're going to play at your wedding, songs are going to get played at your funeral. I mean, just songs you're going to drive around and listen to, just like, holy shit, an actual human being was that creative and that good at writing songs.
No, it's true.
That's what I've been doing, is like mourning these guys and listening to their music and just being grateful we had them for as long as we did.
I'm actually one of those people who didn't know a ton of John Prine. I'm sorry. I should have said earmuffs to Chicken and to Stew. yeah, I obviously knew Angel from Montgomery, and I knew In Spite of Ourselves, and I had kind of heard bits and pieces of other things, but I didn't really... hadn't really heard much more than that, but you're right. Even last night, having played just a handful of tunes, he's pretty awesome, man. And it's not the type of music I typically listen to. I also had no idea the story that he was discovered by Roger Ebert.
Yes.
That's fucking insane. That's wrong.
He was a mailman in Chicago from Kentucky who quit delivering mail because he was scared of bees. So,
and he's at an
he got tired of bees chasing him while he was delivering letters. So I mean, he decided to be a genius songwriter instead.
He's at an open mic, as I understand it. Roger Ebert is like walking in because he's like just got done with a movie or something across the street. Has nothing to do with music. He's not a music critic at all. Watched him, wrote an article in the Chicago Sun Times, and again, having no authority whatsoever. And that was the way he got Kris Kristofferson, saw the article and saw him, signed him, whatever else. And John Prine was always like, yeah, Kris Kristofferson, that's really cool of you, but Roger Ebert was the guy. He found me.
Yep.
Insane.
Fucking at the movies guy. Yeah.
You can't make that up. That's really cool.
Why can't this go after the old guys who suck? That's really my only complaint. You can't get Henry Kissinger in front of somebody who's coughing. Sorry, was that out loud? I shouldn't say that. Sorry.
None of the people who suck have died. They've all been good.
Yeah, it's awful.
What the fuck?
I hate everything.
I find myself being sympathetic to my kids who are 8 and 5. And then I have to scream and yell at myself that they're going to be absolutely fucking fine. Like, they are so much more resilient and doing okay. Not to pull the old, like, back in my day, but I legitimately, when I was my age, I entertained myself for, like, 5 hours at a time playing ceiling catch, just laying on my back and throwing a baseball to the ceiling and back for hours and hours and hours. They're going to be okay. But, man, that's a thing that I have to kind of give myself a daily pep talk about, because I end up feeling bad for the kids and... They're okay. The kids, as they say, are all right. That's it though for me. I have no other ways to stay sane. John, how are you doing?
He's clearly not sane.
I have a 3-year-old daughter, so my life exists in about 6 different states right now. Either I'm sleeping, or I'm at work, working in my basement, or I am watching the movie Frozen, or I am listening to the soundtrack to the movie Frozen, or I am pretending to be Anna while my daughter pretends to be Elsa, or I am listening to my daughter cry about why we can't do any of the previous three things. That's really all I do in my life now.
Yeah, you know, when this first started, I started to sort of like play out the different ages and the difficulties of parenting. And for some reason, I know how dumb it is now, but I first like thought it was going to be the hardest for the kids who were that had a lot of responsibility in school, high school age kids, junior high, whatever else, that had to do a lot of schoolwork. But that's wrong and false. They can do stuff on their own. They're self-sufficient at this point. The younger it is, the harder it is, ages of kids. So you have my full sympathy, Jonathan. My 8 and 5-year-old can, like, go outside by themselves, and I don't have to worry about them whatsoever. I have it much easier, and I know that.
The one benefit that we do have is that our lives have not been disrupted all that much just because my daughter went to preschool 2 mornings a week, and changing that to her not going to preschool 2 mornings a week doesn't really change much, and my wife stays home with our kids. So we have, in many ways, we are very blessed right now because we don't have to deal with trying to work jobs while also educating our children and stuff like that. So
I'm not saying your point is like you were already miserable.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just as miserable as I was before the quarantine. It's the exact same thing.
But unlike anyone else on this podcast, though, you have your brother calling you and asking if you know what Glenn Mason's travel to the Wuhan province in December was like.
Do you think I could shake his hand before somebody got? How could I just make him worry?
Video of Glenn Mason eating a bat from a wet market in the Wuhan.
Just diving into it, still alive.
Yeah, you know,
I've got FlightAware records that Glenn Mason was in the Wuhan province in December 10th.
High-fiving Barry Alvarez while he does it.
Oh, man. I've also taken this as an occasion to get after some what I think is sort of somewhat commonly known as like your pop culture blind spots, like things that are should be very obvious that everyone else has seen that you haven't. There's a nice chance to catch up on that. Like if you hadn't seen Goodfellas or
we've been
whatever.
Doing that. Yep.
I tried to watch Harry Potter.
How was that, Brandon?
Jones is 8. We lasted about 10 minutes. Just couldn't do it. Tried.
Yeah.
We really tried. 10 minutes feels like a good amount to know like, oh, I wonder where this one goes. Mm-hmm. And we were both just out. So that didn't work, but I tried. I watched Blade Runner. Had never seen Blade Runner.
That's good.
It's a little embarrassing.
Like
it's pretty good. It's cool. I mean, it's dated now, right? But it was fun. And I totally understand why that was probably like blew people's minds in 1983 or whatever it was. And then another one is there's a book called The Adventures of The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, which is a very, won tons of awards, and it's kind
it's
of the
phenomenal
thing.
One of my favorite, literally one of my favorite books.
Totally. I hear that so often. It's just one of those things. It fell through the cracks, and I just had never read it before. So I'm about 2/3 the way through that right now, too. And you're right. It's pretty awesome. So
that's great.
I'm really enjoying that. But that's another thing I would say would be kind of fun to do. And John, pop culture blind spots for you is literally every single thing that's
all
ever
of
been
pop
made.
Culture. I'm a walking, talking, living pop culture blind spot. And the ironic thing is, because I have a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old, I am making no progress whatsoever to rectify that. I have a lot of information about children's TV shows now. There have been a lot of jokes around about people, oh, I finished Netflix, now what do I do? Blah 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 about all these shows they're seeing. My daughter is getting a lot of new shows now. I am getting none whatsoever.
Nothing.
Still have an equal amount of nothing going on as I always did. It just I'm not missing as much as I was before because there's no sports on TV. But
true,
I can tell you a lot about Doc McStuffins and Paw Patrol, but I can't do anything that I really want to do with my time. So,
do you get even like an hour after they go to bed to relax and you and
yeah, but I like to spend a recording podcast with my friends. So.
Idiot. Jesus.
Honestly, the stupid thing is because everyone is so desperate for human connection, I think just about every night I end up talking to someone on FaceTime or Zoom or on the phone or something like that, even if it's just talking to my folks for a while. Just
I know, it's crazy, but it's so helpful. You're right, it's so important.
There's an episode of The Simpsons. I don't want to relate everything to old Simpsons episodes, but...
Yeah, you do.
It's the one where the Council of Citizens takes over the town and starts to run it into the ground, and there's a part where the comic book guy says that breeding will only be allowed every 7 years because that's the way the most logical race in the universe, the Vulcans, do it. And he says something like, for many of you, this will represent a decrease in breeding. For some of us, much, much more. And in terms of interaction with people, that's sort of my experience of the quarantine is.
Right.
For some of this will represent a decrease in how much you're hanging out with people. For me, much, much more.
Yeah. No, but it's true how important that stuff immediately shows itself to you, how important that is, which is crazy. The other thing that I would say is I've got my dad ball crew. We're on Slack. There's about 15 of us, and we are on there a lot, just chatting. And we're all at pretty similar stages, fairly close ages and all that sort of stuff. One thing that's been interesting is almost to a person, every one of us have been like, man, there have been a bunch of days where I've actually been totally okay. And there's been a couple of days where I've been really, really, really down. Like just like the bad days are real bad. And you pop back up from it the next day. I can certainly attest to having that happen myself too. But I think you're right. Like keeping in touch with people and knowing that like those things are going to come and go, hopefully. Right. But that has been another just like I was amazed to hear how many guys were like, yep, I've experienced that too. So every once in a while, finding just some of that universal stuff that you can figure out that is common is I don't know. It's just been an interesting few weeks, obviously, to say the least. So
two things, Brandon. One, how's Brickman?
Well, yeah, he's amazing. You know, we don't talk to him as much as we'd like. But he still checks in, mostly just to rip on people's sneakers choices, as he typically did when he lived here, which was great. Okay. So yeah. Yep. Still around. Love him.
Good. Good. And, number two, have you seen Watchmen on HBO yet?
I saw Watchmen and I absolutely loved Watchmen. Loved it.
Dr. Manhattan's hog is amazing.
Jesus. That
Excuse
is
me? Phrasing.
My goodness.
Majestic dick.
That is
you literally meant it then.
Wow.
Wow.
Phrasing correct, I guess.
I didn't see. I thought,
No, that's not a metaphor.
Sometimes this pop culture blind spot is A-okay with me.
We're talking dicks, guys.
Talking wangs. Oh, man, is it gorgeous.
It's just amazing.
If anybody has access to HBO,
specimen.
I think Watchmen's incredible. I also would say, like, The Leftover. I'm one of the few human beings on Earth that says The Leftovers is, like, one of my top five shows of all time. So something about that that's the same creator. Something about that vein of, like, unexplainable and kind of intense, but then gets a little weird again just kind of hits me in the right way. So, yeah, huge fan. Loved it. And that dick, man. Back to whistling.
Whistling. It's something.
That's a callback.
It is something. So, yeah, we're trying to figure out our next our binge thing. I mean, Tiger King left just a giant... you know, polygamist hole in our heart. So we're just kind of trying to
figure that's out what just we're one of those like next. It's what I assume probably like smoking crack is like you just start it and you're like, well, we got to get through this immediately. I'm not gonna sleep until I get done with all the crack. I'm not gonna like leave some for tomorrow. Like we're just gonna do all the crack, and everybody just like ran through that thing so quickly. I still don't know one human being who's been like, started it, I'll let you know when I'm done. So have you seen Halt and Catch Fire, Stu?
Nope.
That's on Netflix.
It's on my list. We have a long list on our refrigerator of shows that we're going to... We hopefully don't have to watch all of them because it's got to be a good year's worth of TV.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We do have a list. We actually wrote it down of stuff where we should catch up on that at least two of the three of us who live here will watch. So yeah, it's one of those things that's like, oof, that's a daunting list, and hopefully we don't have to watch all of it because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's going to be some stuff that hopefully you can like watch a couple episodes and be like, not for me. Yeah. Like that's not going to do it. Halt and Catch Fire. I probably have talked about this before, but the first season's a little cheesy, a little like trying hard for rating sort of thing, and then it gets better. And then season four is the final season, and it's pretty close to perfect. And I will just say this: there's a song called "So Far Away," I think, by Dire Straits. Have you heard that song?
Yeah.
So far away.
I have KQRS in my car.
I know I'm sounding like a 16-year-old right now. I had heard the song before, but it's one of those songs where like, oh, it's just like a song, right? And it's played in a perfect way, in a movie or TV show or whatever. Anyway, it's a fairly pivotal scene in season four of Halt and Catch Fire, and now I cannot get enough of that song. I absolutely fucking love "So Far Away" by Dire Straits. So I don't know if that helps.
It was the third single off their Brothers in Arms album after "Money for Nothing" and "Walk of Life."
Oh, you beat me to it. I was just gonna say that.
What were the remaining singles off that album, Stu?
I believe the fourth one was the title track. I don't think there were any other singles.
Right. Yeah,
you can look.
Title track.
Wade, there's your Thursday morning task to see what the singles were off the Brothers in Arms album by Dire Straits in 1984.
Romeo and Juliet was previous.
That was off of Making Movies in 1980. Chicken.
Yeah,
I think. Pretty
so
sure.
I can't think of anything else that would be off that one. Thank
yeah.
you.
And Sultan's Sultan's a Swing is 78. So.
Yep.
There you go, Dire Straits. Woo.
Not so good.
Knopfler.
Love him.
Fucking Knopfler.
Marky.
Just a bunch of dads sitting around talking about Mark Knopfler. This is every podcast right now.
Oh, God. 70 minutes into a podcast. Just saying Dire, not even saying anything about him that's interesting. Just Dire Straits. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Dire Straits.
Yep. Love it.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one.
Please do a sport, somebody. Do a sport, please.
Stop killing all the cool musicians.
I propose the bowling. Bowling tournament from bowlers' homes. They've got to have bowling alleys in their homes.
Right.
They have
big
to.
Guys. A bowling tournament,
yes.
64 of them. We could have a bracket,
bracket
like basketball.
Style. Yep.
64. We could all get into it. Unite the nation. Unite the clans. Give us something. Every night
you can
they
bet
play
on it.
Four games, let's say. Four matches?
Frames?
Bowling matches? Bowling. No? Well, frame is the end, is like innings.
Right.
It's frame. But
what
then
is
the
bowling
the
innings.
Frames are done.
Bowling
once games. It's a
once
game.
Inning is over.
Because you roll a 300 game.
Around.
And then there's a series, like a 900 series.
Game set series. Game series. Okay. Yep. Nailed it.
Anyways.
That's it.
64. Let's do it. What? We just came up with
it. Make it happen. And I can't
let's delete
wait.
This.
I think I speak for America when I say I can't wait to see what Pete Weber's home bowling alley looks like.
Pete Weber, that's the guy that's
Maverick the guy that Top looks Gun? Like.
Wasn't his name Pete Weber?
You know, no.
Mayor
Pete?
Mitchell.
Pete Mitchell. Pete Mitchell. Sorry.
Darn it.
Pete Weber's the guy that looks like you assume every pro bowler looks like.
The guy
Pete kind of Weber looks like the guy who's a mall cop because the real cops won't let him be in the real cops.
Real thin mustache, right?
Yep.
Oh, man. Yep.
Absolutely married a 17-year-old.
Of course. Goes without saying. All right. Let's stop talking for a while. Our homework is to fill out our brackets, and think of other good sports ideas. And third, most importantly, continue to stay sane. And lastly, eat literally any other food than Papa Murphy's.
And hey, a fifth, maybe post correctly synced audio if we're feeling it.
Ooh.
Yeah, shit. John.
Yeah, let's talk about who sent in the audio that was somehow 11 seconds shorter than everybody's and screwed everything up.
Hey, let's just all go ahead and send our specific audio to Stu and see when this gets posted.
Let's see.
Was it me, John?
Let's see if Stu does. It wasn't you. It was Stu. Let's see if Stu does absolutely any work for once.
Holy Christ.
Jesus God, John.
Fuck, I'm the only one that made it out of this thing.
So
unscathed.
Angry.
Holy
man.
Shit. How'd that happen?
I'm
the only guy.
God, it's
yell
amazing.
At me about something. I don't
chicken.
Know.
Chicken, you need something. A new bit. Angry guy's taken. You need something else
fuck
now.
It is.
There's an opening for nice go. Guy.
He's been tired.
Nice guy's
anyways.
Taking the Bill Hicks path to success right now. My God.
Just right.
The fastest
rate. Right A to B. Yeah. Yep, just not dancing jeez. Around anything.
Love it.
Oh, boy. All right. That was a good chat. Let's. Yeah,
it was.
Goodbye, everybody.
See you.
Go Vikings.
Bye, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.